Week 2, the Book of Hosea. Romans 9 is one of the most magisterial chapters in all of Scripture. It begins with the Apostle Paul's anguish over his fellow Israelites, with the Apostle recounting the people's privileged history as God's people, but also their failure to live worthily of this regal calling. He summarizes the problem by uttering the immortal words, quote, "Not all who are descended from Israel are Israel," Romans 9:6. By this, of course, the apostle means faith, rather than ancestry, is what makes someone a child of God. As such, quote, "it does not depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy," Romans 9:16. The true children of God, Paul says, are those who throw themselves upon God's mercy and live by faith. And all this, he explains, is why the gospel had begun extending beyond Israel and to the Gentiles. In the remainder of Romans 9, the Apostle Paul sets out to show this is not a new idea, but was in fact the ancient plan of God. Paul does so by quoting key texts from the Old Testament prophets, especially Hosea and Isaiah. His use of Hosea is our focus here. Quote, "As he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And in this very place where it is said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called children of the living God." This is Romans 9:25 through 26, quoting Hosea 2:23 and 1:10. Here the Apostle Paul uses Hosea to highlight the universal scope of God's work and the vastness of his mercy. It turns out God's affections were never tribal, his intentions never parochial. He always intended to restore all of creation, from sea to sea and nation to nation. Israel was meant to be the beginning, not the end of this restoration. Yet it is interesting to note that in the book of Hosea, these passages do not refer to the nations, but to Israel specifically. Their focus is narrow. Why then does the Apostle Paul apply them to the nations of the earth? This is a key element in Paul's argument, which we shall soon return to. For now, we need to give a brief overview of the book of Hosea itself. The prophet Hosea ministered in Israel in the 8th century BC. His writings stand out for a number of reasons, not least because his poetry and language are some of the most sophisticated in all of the Old Testament. Along with the dialect of his Hebrew, Hosea's geographical references suggest he hailed from the northern kingdom. Apart from this, however, we know very little about his life and background. Virtually all of what we know comes from the book bearing his name, a book in which Hosea's family life was meant to represent God's relationship with Israel. The prophet himself married a prostitute, a woman named Gomer, who endlessly chased after other lovers. And the couple had three children together, including a daughter named Lo-Ruhamah, meaning not loved, and a son named Lo-Ami, meaning not my people. The couple's marriage and family, therefore, stood as a living analogy of God's relationship with Israel. Despite the two parties having bound themselves together, Israel, like Gomer, continued to chase after other lovers, that is, other gods. And the generations of Israel, like the prophet's children, turned their backs on God and were far from him. Yet God, like Hosea, continued to pursue his wife and even purchased her back from slavery. And he promised that, ultimately, he would restore her and her children unto himself. They would be a family again. The book of Hosea, therefore, provides a perfect opening to the book of the 12, for it encapsulates the covenant relationship. It poignantly pictures, on the one hand, Israel's defining proclivity, that is, her sin of chasing after other lovers. And it pictures, on the other hand, God's defining tendency, his love for Israel and reckless commitment to her. And in so doing, the book of Hosea ultimately highlights God's defining attribute, his radical mercy. The only reason Israel has hope for a future with God is because he is radically merciful. And this is what the Apostle Paul focuses on in Romans 9. If God's people are a prototype for his designs for the rest of humanity, then his dealings with them will predict his future dealings with all of humanity as well. So, when Hosea speaks of God's promise to take a people who are not loved and not a people, and through mercy transform them into a people who are loved and embraced, he is speaking narrowly of Israel. But within that promise was a prototype for God's future dealings with all of creation. And so the Apostle Paul is right to apply Hosea's prophecy to the nations of the earth. As Paul says earlier in Romans, quote, "There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." This is Romans 3:23 through 24. This idea was not original to Paul. It began long before, as the book of Hosea makes clear. What is new to the New Testament, then, is the identification of God in the person of Jesus Christ.